You don't get ready for the marriage until you love. The bride falls in love with the husband. And it's so you need to get to this place where we fall in love with Jesus. Husbands, they don't usually get ready. I flew in. First of all, Candy and I talked on Thanksgiving. And I was in Seattle and I was in Fort Lewis, Washington, in the Army. And we had talked before I'd come through here from Fort Benning, Georgia, and we'd talked, should we or shouldn't we get married, because I was on my way to Vietnam. And something inside of me said it's probably not wisdom to get married and then go to war. I found there was a scripture later that suggested you shouldn't do that. But anyway, I called her up on Thanksgiving and I said, I think we should wait. And I gave a long kind of pause there until Christmas when I come home for leave. 30 days. Get things ready. I'll be home. And that's what I did. I came home and she'd been 30 days getting things ready. And she got it all ready. I mean, she made her wedding dress. All the bridesmaids made wedding dresses. Everything happened in 30 days. It was quickly done. But we were in love. You wouldn't get ready for the marriage until you fall in love. And I just wanted to say, this had nothing to do with the sermon, probably. It does, but I just want to say that something inside of me said, we as a body need to think about falling in love. And especially men who aren't used to getting ready for a marriage were the bride of Christ. So ladies, please help us. Because you know what it's like. We need your help as a church about getting ready. And men, we probably need to listen sometimes about how to get ready for a marriage. Because the marriage of the Lamb is coming. And the bride has made herself ready. So, anyway, that was the kind of the theme of the conference. And there was a time when the bride unveiled herself. And that came up twice. And somebody said they drove by someplace in Minneapolis. And there's a big sign out there that says, the bride unveiled. And so anyway, had a couple sermons that I was thinking about giving, but the one I'm waiting on a little bit longer, I'm going to try to hit this one. I want to talk a little bit about God's glory and three aspects of His glory. These three aspects. He wants us to have in us what's in Him. Now, He knows that we're a little bit stiff-necked and we don't quite get it. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit and to be in us, because the Holy Spirit is committed to form you, His body, into the image of Jesus Christ. His bride is going to be one that looks like Him. And these three aspects are definitely part of who Christ is, who the Father is, who the Holy Spirit is. So we're just going to look at these three anyway, and there's probably a lot more. So Lord, we just come before you, and Lord, I pray that we'd be encouraged today to get ourselves ready for the wedding. And Lord, maybe this is part of this whole getting ready. Lord, that we would clothe ourselves with you. And we would have on wedding clothes, ready for the wedding. So Lord, as we look at these things, just help us to grab on to you. Help us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Okay, well, we'll try. There we go. Forgiveness. Take a look at forgiveness here. John 1:29. John the Baptist is down at the Jordan River and he's baptizing down there. And Jesus shows up. The next day he saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Forgiveness is all wrapped up in the Son Jesus. But it flowed out of the heart of the Father. Forgiveness is part of God. If you read about the glory of God, that when Moses says, "Show me His glory," He's a forgiving God. God is a God of forgiveness. Do you know why you got forgiven? Why did God forgive you? Why did Jesus come and die on the cross? Did He feel sorry for you? Was it out of sympathy for you that He died? He died not out of sympathy for you. He died because it's in His heart. He died out of who He is. He died for His sake. It was for Him. You're a benefactor. But it's part of who God is. Forgiveness is who God is. Sometimes we get into this sympathy thing. You get to benefit something of who God is. Now, He loves you. He cares about you. But it wasn't because He felt sorry for you. He did it because of who He is. He's a forgiving God. If you go with the sympathy thing, then there's a kind of a graduated thing. Well, how bad was my sin? Well, some people, I ran into a Christian once. He said, "You know what? I think I've been searching and searching. I think I'm without sin." He didn't quite get it. But then there's other ones who that's all they see in their life. They see nothing good. They're just full of sin. They've done it wrong all their life. And they're hopelessly lost. But it wasn't about, well, this one really needs forgiveness. No, forgiveness was in the heart of God. Jesus died out of obedience to the Father. There was an obedience issue here, and He did it willingly. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." Matthew 26:27, "And when He had taken the cup and given thanks, He gave it to them and said, 'Drink you all of it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" Forgiveness is in the heart of God. It's just part of who He is. Isaiah 43:25, "I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions. Now you see, for why? For my own sake. I did it for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. I will not remember your sins. Isn't that something? Can you get that? I will not remember your sins. What kind of a statement is that? I will not remember your sins. I can still remember some of the stuff I did when I was Dan's age. I was quite a rascal. I got in all kinds of trouble. I will not remember your sins. A God who doesn't remember? I mean, my dad, you know, had Alzheimer's at the end, and he didn't remember, and it wasn't such a good thing. He was talking to me about his son who was driving down the road. He was telling me about this son he had. And it wasn't such good things he was saying. I said, I'm right here. Finally told me the truth. I will not remember. The cleansing of the blood of Jesus is fantastic. It is out of this world. Jeremiah 31:34. They will not teach again every man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more. I don't know if you ever read the book Angels on Assignment, Roland Buck. He says, God forgives you, then he forgot that he forgave you. How about that? What kind of character is that? I'll remember your sins no more. Just so that you realize that there's New Testament reference, same verse shows up, Hebrews. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord. But they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Sometimes we worry. How good is the blood of Jesus? How good is it? It cleansed away my sin, but I still feel pretty bad. Well, I want you to get a perspective from heaven. If in fact you've been raised with Christ, set your eyes on heavenly things, not on earthly things. You got to set your mind on how God sees things, not how you see them. We're being transformed into His image, not stuck in our own image. And if you're stuck still remembering sins about yourself, get over it. Deal with it. I love quoting Friends. Those are quotes. Get over it and deal with it. We need to start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. He remembers your sins no more. Now, if he wants to do a little cleaning up in you, which he does, he'll bring something up only so that you can say, Yes, Lord, that's sin. That's confessing sin for what it is. When the Holy Spirit brings it up, agree with him. Just agree with him and say, yeah, that's bad. And then trust the Lord, because if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you. How good a cleansing is it? Does He really wash it all away so it looks like it was never there? Yes, He does. It's a thorough cleansing. So there's a lot of scriptures that deal with forgiveness. I just wanted to touch on a few here. We'll move on. Mercy. Oh, mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Right? You deserve something, and if you get mercy, oh mercy, give me mercy. It's not getting what you deserve. Now grace is getting what you didn't deserve. So the difference in grace. Well, let's read this. What's that? He has not dealt with us according to our sin. What? No. This is bad. I don't write the reference down. Where is this, Rocky?
It's in Gordon's order. As far as the east is from the west.
Yeah. Find it. You can find it on your little phone there and tell us. Okay. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who love Him or fear Him. As for the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are dust. He has not dealt with you according to your behavior. So you might think that you've done something really bad. But mercy says, I'm going to deal with you not according to your behavior. Do you know that mercy is part of the character of God? It's who He is. He's a merciful God. He didn't have to come up with mercy. Oh, I'll just have mercy on you. Again, that's who He is. He's a merciful God. He wants to show mercy. He always wants to show mercy. Now, sometimes it's not quite that way with us. But with God, it's always that way. Locate it?
Psalm 103.
Yeah. If you're not under, I don't do well under pressure trying to come up. Anyway, thank you very much. His mercy in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you wonder, why are you born again? Was that something that you were so great that you should be born again? It was by God's mercy. His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By His great mercy. Are you worthy to be born again? Probably not. But by His mercy, He caused you to be born again. By His mercy. How do you feel about that? You accept that?
Can you accept His mercy?
All right. We'll move on here and see how much more trouble I get into. First John 4:9-1. That sounds pretty good. I think it must be 9-12. Or this is how God showed His love amongst us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. What kind of love is this? What kind of love starts out just loving? Just loving. I didn't put this up, but the old familiar one, for God so loved the world. What did He love about the world? Did He love that they had stopped worshiping Him? Did He love the fact that He was being forgotten? He loved us because love is in Him. You can't separate God. You can't say, God just come up with love. Well, He loved us because He just looked down at us and said, oh, they really need my love. He is love. God is love. He loves you because He can't help it. He loves you. And He loves me. And it's just in Him to love. It's in Him to love. Greater love. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what kind of love is this? Is it one that was dependent upon your behavior? Was salvation dependent upon you? Or was it dependent upon God? For my sake, it says. For my sake. He gave up His life. Okay. If this is true, and if you buy into this, then what's our response? Colossians 3:13 says this, bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. Forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Father or just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. Rocky and I were praying last week, and that's kind of where I went with that. All of a sudden there was this just as. Just as. Just as. Just as the Father has forgiven you. Whoever has a complaint against anyone. I could ask you a show of hands here. Do you have any complaints in your life? Do you complain a little bit? Are you a complainer? Whoever has a complaint against anyone. Now, if this is clothing, we're putting on the cloth and we're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ here in forgiveness. So if we're going to put on His forgiveness, then we got to put it on just like He put it on for you. You don't get to put it on a different way. You don't get to hold on forgiveness. You don't get to have complaints against people as a Christian. That's not the right behavior. So it comes back and says, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Now, how do you wiggle in there and say, well, but in this case, no, I don't think there is a but in this case, except the one who's holding on forgiveness. You may want to read Matthew 18 just to back that up a little bit. If you're wondering whether this is really a true thing, just read Matthew 18 about the guy who was forgiven a lot and wouldn't forgive the little thing. Okay, let's go on here a little bit. Our response. Luke 11:4. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Do anybody recognize that? What's it out of? The Lord's Prayer, right? That word "for" there is could have been "because." If you can translate it "because" or it's the word "gab" in the Greek, but that word "for," let's just put "because" in there. And forgive us our sins because we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. I mean, some translations put it this way. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those. There isn't much wiggle room here in the area of forgiveness. If we're going to put on the clothes, then let's put on the same clothes. Let's not have a different attitude, but the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus. I mean, I'm pretty thankful. I'm pretty thankful that God forgave me. I'm pretty thankful. But the Scripture then comes back and says, how thankful are we? How thankful are we? Are we thankful enough that we're going to do the same for others? Or do we say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, but that rascal? And, you know, you get to check yourself out how forgiving you are and how much clothes you have on when someone does something really stupid around you. You know, it does something that really irritates you, like pulls out in front of you, like doesn't do something right at the stop sign, or maybe it's closer to home than that. I don't know. All right. But love your enemies. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you'll be sons of the Most High. For He Himself, now who's He Himself? Who's He talking about? For He Himself, this is God, is kind to who? Who's God kind to? Ungrateful and evil men. Well, those ungrateful people, they don't deserve anything. Well, I'll tell you, He Himself. Now, what kind of attitude should we have? What kind of clothing are we putting on here? He Himself is kind to grateful and evil men. Then he goes on to say, be merciful just as. Not a different way. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful to you. How's that? How many of you ever read that verse in James and kind of shuddered? I think it's James chapter 2. It says, "For God will be merciless to him who has shown no mercy." Now that's a scary verse for me. God will be merciless to him who has shown no mercy, for mercy triumphs over judgment. Why do you think God says, don't judge? Don't judge. Don't judge. Don't judge. Why? Because he knows if we start getting into judgment, then he's going to have to show us judgment. For in the same way we judge, we will be judged. That's just the way it is. In the same measure you give it out, it will be given back. Pretty scary verses. But God has warned us ahead of time in His Scripture. And you know what? Just think about it. You say, well, man, it's hard for me to do that. You know, it's hard for me to do that. But will we surrender and just agree? All God is asking is just, will you agree with me that it's wrong for you to be not merciful? Will you at least agree with me? Because if you agree with me and call it sin, I will cleanse you from that. I can cleanse you from that sin. All you got to do is agree with me and say it's wrong. And I'm saying, will we hang on to that? Or will we say, you know, Lord, I give it up. I surrender. I surrender. I guess that's not your character. That's my old flesh. If you've heard me, I got a new definition for religion and I updated it last night. I said religion is whatever we haven't surrendered over to the Lord of our flesh, and we say, I'm hanging on to this. Religion is making that part of us which is our flesh look like a Christian. If we're not going to give it up, then we got to somehow make it look good at least so that other people don't think I'm weird. So I get my flesh to behave right. My updated definition goes this way. It's disguising my flesh, putting a mask over it, so that people think it's Christian. Just putting a mask over my flesh. Because I really can't change that thing. There's only one plan for the flesh, and that was the cross. Dead. You can't make it look good. So the real work of the Lord is an inside transformation of the heart. And it's by the Holy Spirit. It's not making anything look like anything. It's Him transforming us. But we have to agree with Him. We have to agree with the Word of God. Love our enemies. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Now this is Jesus saying, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. Now, if you can get the second part of this scripture, you'll learn something today. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. What's the commandment of the Lord? What did He say to the to that man who come to him, what's the law say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. In those two things sums up all the rest of the commandments. If you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love. The more you keep his commandment, to love God and to love your neighbor, the more you abide in His love. The more you... It's not like, did His love increase? No, but your ability to hold His love just increased. You've opened up doors that you can receive His love. So, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. In John 15:12, this is my commandment. Just following that. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. That you love one another. How? How are you going to love one another? Just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. What does that mean? Well, I was in Vietnam and you had chances sometimes to give, you know, if there was a grenade there and you saw it was a live one. I taught people in throwing grenades once. And the guy, you pull the pin, you still got the handle, right? And when you throw it, the handle releases, there's a delayed action, but the thing is armed then. And moments later, it goes off. Well, this guy, he's got the grenade, he pulls the pin, and he lets the handle go, and he holds the grenade. I said, throw it! And he's holding it, he's not doing anything with it. And I said, this guy's a suicidal guy, and I'm going with him. And I didn't know what to do. But I took his hand, and we had a bunker there, and I hit his hand, and the grenade dropped just right outside the bunker and went off. And I went to my commanding officer. I think I've had it for the day. Send me home. All I'm saying, what's this life? Have you ever had a thing where you want to have justice? You want to get back? You want to get even? You want to do something? And you know it's not right, right? Are you willing to lay your life down at that point? This life that you had in Adam, this old life, are you willing to lay it down for the sake of your friends? Are you willing to let the cross operate in your life? Is what it's really saying. One last verse. Romans 15:7. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ accepted us. Who is it that we shouldn't accept? The one who took me for $25, took me for a ride, he didn't do it right, he didn't get it right, he actually did something on purpose to hurt me. Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Our acceptance is based on His glory. Forgiveness is based on the glory of God. Mercy is based on the glory of God. Love is based on the glory of God. Now, is the glory of God increasing? Yes, it is. We move from glory to glory. But there is a death, resurrection process going on in all of us. Are we willing to die to ourselves and let the resurrection life of Christ be brought up in us? And that's what it's all about. Our life is a process of dying. First of all, agreeing to the Holy Spirit. He's in you. And if He's in you, I know He's convicting you when you do it wrong. I know that. He just does that. Our job is to say, yes, Holy Spirit. Yes. Reckon the thing dead by calling it sin and letting God cleanse you of that sin. Because that process then births in us resurrection life. And the new life comes up. And that life is going to be His life, His glory, His attitudes, His convictions. Whatever He does, you'll do. But the process to get there is the cross. The process to get there is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ that we carry about in us. And it's the process that's important. And that happens while you're working. It happens while you're driving. It happens all day long. It's going on and on and on in us. Just listen. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Do you have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to you? I can't see. I'm having a hard enough time doing this for myself. Don't expect me to try to figure out your life. My job is to love you, accept you, encourage you. But isn't that all of our jobs for everybody else? Pray for one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another, but listen to the Lord for you. And if you've been having a habit of listening to the Lord for others, I got two words for you. Stop it. Listen to the Lord for you and trust the Lord. And for other people, pray for them, encourage them, strengthen them. Remind them who they are in Christ. And love them. Accept them. That's the glory of God. That's His glory. He knows how to take care of His children. How many of you had more than one child in your house? How did you like it when the one child tried to correct the other child? They really didn't know what they were doing, did they? And that's how we can look at our church. We're just all one big family, one father, and He knows how to discipline us, okay? We're just children. We're just children. Father, I pray that You would help us now. Thank You for the Holy Spirit, which has committed to form us into the image of Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for not leaving us nor forsaking us, but sticking it out with us, Lord. And help us now as we are in this season, Lord, of being ready for Your return. Help us, Lord, to take seriously getting ready. And Lord, help us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ with all His glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit will complete that in you if you let Him. It's not a hard process. In fact, it's rather... What?